Exploring Happiness with Madonna King on 612 ABC Brisbane.
If you were to take on somebody else's creative genius, who would that somebody be? Leonardo da Vinci, perhaps? The man so inspired he invented the parachute before anyone could even fly. Michael Gelb says you can learn from other creative types. He should know. He's written, I think, 12 books on unlocking your best self. And what's even better, apparently he says drinking wine helps. Michael, good morning. have I read that right, or have I used that for my own purposes?
No, fair enough.
We'll come to wine then in a little while. Well, what could we learn from Leonardo da Vinci's life and inventions?
Well, Leonardo's probably the most creative person who ever lived. So if you want to learn to improve your tennis game, you might want to watch Wimbledon. It's coming up, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Imitate the best players. We all learn by imitation. Animals learn by imitation. You watch baby ducks. They learn to walk by following their mother. So it's deeply wired into our brain. The great thing about being human is that we can consciously choose who and what to imitate. So if you want to learn creativity, why not model the most creative person who ever lived, Leonardo da Vinci?
And why do you give him that badge that he's the most creative?
Well, there are other great creative geniuses throughout history. But Leonardo is unique in his combination of science and art. So his pioneering experiments in anatomy, in botany, in geology, were hundreds of years ahead of his time. And he managed to knock off a couple of rather well-known paintings, Mona Lisa, The Last Supper. And as you mentioned, he invented the parachute before anybody could fly. He invented the extendable ladder that fire departments still use today. So the breadth and depth of his genius makes him unique in human history.
Then how do we learn to think like someone like that?
Well, see, that's the great thing is there are all these books on Leonardo and all these studies on him, but they're usually academic. They're art history tomes. They're reverential, as though we could never be like him. But I just asked this nervy question, which is, what can we learn from him specifically? So I started to read his notebooks over and over again. And one of the wonderful things about Leonardo, and I've actually found this about a lot of other great minds, is they're quite generous and they tell you what they think you should do. So I read his notebooks and I took notes on what does he actually tell us we ought to do.
So what does he actually tell us we ought to do?
Well, the first thing is to have an inquiring mind. In Italian, it's curiosità.
Oh, curiosità.
Right? Which is our birthright, of course. Who are the most curious people you know? They're little children. So what happens to us is we go to school and we start to believe, unfortunately, that answers are more important than questions, and we stop thinking for ourselves. And that's the second principle, which is to become what Leonardo called an inventore, an original thinker. Then sharpen your senses, embrace uncertainty, which is perhaps the most distinguishing characteristic of highly creative people, is their comfort in the face of the unknown. Then integrate art and science. So in contemporary terms, we say use both sides of your brain.
Yes.
Integrate body and mind. People realize maybe that Leonardo was an artistic genius. Then they learn he was a scientific genius. But they're delighted to discover that he was also physically gifted and renowned as the strongest man in Florence. And he gives advice on health and wellness. He says, eat a healthy, wholesome diet of the freshest foods that you can find, get moderate exercise, and have a little red wine with dinner.
Red, not white?
Red is preferable for your health and well-being, actually.
But was he willing to kind of reconsider that, or was he was very difficult?
Well, I will give you permission if you prefer white. just as his representative here in Brisbane, I'm happy to authorize you to have the white you want.
Let me just reintroduce you to Leonardo da Vinci's representative here in Queensland. That's Michael Gelb. He's written 12 books on unlocking your best self. And we're talking this morning about what you could imitate, what you could model on Leonardo da Vinci to make you perhaps think more like him, and things like a curious mind, being an original thinker, embracing uncertainty. Now, as you say that, I can't help but think of our education system and education systems around the world, and I'm not sure they do that, do they? We're in formal learning and...
Well, that's part of my mission, is to have schools around the world apply these seven Da Vinci principles as expressed in How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci in education. I do a lot of work with major corporations because innovation and creativity so important to the bottom line of their business. However, as I explained to them, it's a lot easier to do education than re-education. So I have to re-educate their people and teach them how to think creatively and more innovatively. And I try to get them to sponsor and endow programs for schools so that we can come right into the workforce with that the kind of creative and innovative mind that we need in our increasingly complex world.
But don't you have to have the genes or the brains to be able to do this in the first place? Or are you saying any of us could latch on and become almost a creative genius?
Well, the answer to that question is yes and yes. You do have to have the genes and the brains. The good news is if you're human, you have them. You have 100 billion brain cells.
But we're not using them.
Well, it didn't come with a manual, which is why I have to write these books.
And so if there was one takeout that we should learn, what would it be? If we were to think a different way from today, if we're listening to you, we're in our cars, we're in our homes, we're here, what would we do differently?
Well, there's a study at Stanford University that found that when people begin to think of themselves as creative, their scores on creativity tests go up 25%.
Isn't that self-belief, though? Is that
self-confidence? Fake it till you make it. I mean, Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not.
Or fake it
well, that's
until
the other,
you make
and
it.
So, yeah, and that got translated over the years to fake it till you make it, right?
it's a fairly good one to go by, I guess. Before I let you go, though, I just want to ask you about wine drinking. Your book was Wine Drinking for Inspired Thinking?
Yes, well, first I wrote How to Think Like Leonardo, and then I bring people together to do wine tastings, and I get them to write poetry about the wine. So I wrote a book called Wine Drinking for Inspired Thinking.
And seriously, all jokes aside, does wine unlock some sort of creativity, or are you saying a simple glass of wine is a relaxing thing to do and that relaxes the mind and allows you to think better?
Both mindful appreciation of fine wine and then sharing your experience of the wine in a playful and open or poetic fashion. Well, I didn't actually make this up, because this is where Western philosophy was invented, at the symposium where Plato and Socrates got together to drink wine.
Yes.
In the Palazzo of the Medici, where Galileo and Machiavelli shared wine with their contemporaries. And Thomas Jefferson spent 20% of his budget on fine wine because he found that it was a catalyst for bringing out the best thinking of his brilliant cabinet.
But everything in life works on a bell curve, doesn't it? There must be a point where...
Moderation is the key.
Moderation is the key, and fake it until you make it. am I leaving with the right messages today?
Yes, well, absolutely. We've just been talking about how to drink like Leonardo da Vinci.
Michael Gelb, thank you very much.
My pleasure.